Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. I want to remind you, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And the Season of the Witch, just a great song. It's a classic. Gotta love this song. God, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears last month announced her official candidacy for governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Earle Sears, an immigrant from Jamaica and United States Marine, hoo-yah, would become the first woman to serve as Virginia's governor and first black woman in American history to serve as any state's governor, a story possible only in America. Better yet, she's a Republican, so it's a feather in our cap. She's coming to Kansas City tomorrow. She'll be at 7:30. She'll be at Fiorella's event space in Overland Park. Lieutenant Governor, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again.
Yes, John. Thank you so very much for having me, and good night to your listeners.
Well, thank you again. It's always nice to have you on the show. And I have to start with Virginia. It's interesting. If you look at Virginia, sort of southern states, I kind of consider you one of the sort of southern states there. And yet, if you look at it, Virginia has voted in the last three election cycles, you voted Democrat. But then again, they turn around and elected you and Glenn Youngkin, Republicans, for governor the last cycle. Is it possible that, you know, Virginia is maybe not so blue, maybe turning a little purple?
Well, I would say that we are purple to blue. We're not a red state anymore, not what we used to be. And where you could count on Virginia going, you know, for the president, the Republican candidate, not anymore. And it hasn't been that way for a long time now. But, you know, I think maybe this year it might be different. And we hope so, because we've got to have Trump in the White House. Look, as I like to say, I want the man to win, the one that Rocket Man is afraid of. And, yeah, you know, our enemies have to understand that there is strength in the White House, not the kind of weakness that pulled us out of Afghanistan and the caused our enemies to sense that, well, there is weakness in the White House after all, because we did nothing. And by the way, when you saw that Iran's drones hit three soldiers in the Middle East, right, this year, we did nothing, did we, John?
No.
We didn't go after anybody, not a soul.
No, and now it's been over a year since, you know, Hamas terrorists attacked American citizens in Israel, and we've really done nothing other than wring our hands and tell Israel to not to do anything. You know, I mean, that's another perfect example of a failure of leadership. And I'm glad you brought up Afghanistan, because the quote unquote last person in the room when that decision was made is Kamala Harris. What has her reception been in Virginia? What do Virginians think of their, you know, the Democrat nominee?
Well, on the Democrat side, of course, they love her. They love her to death. And, you know, but we've got to move past. Yeah. Well, tell me what your policies are. How are you going to keep us safe? Because, John, you can love somebody, but it's the policies that are going to matter. You see, so tell me you love me by showing me your policies, and then I will know how you love me. Because the other part, I like to say, of the president's title is commander-in-chief.
Right.
And that means your first job is to keep the country safe. And for me, this election is about, yes, economic development, jobs creation, you know, money in my pocket, all that. But it's also about, how are you going to keep us safe and secure? Because, John, you can't have economic development, job security, and all of that unless you know that the country is safe. Because you see what happened during 9/11. No business deals were happening. Nobody was talking about anything. We wanted to know who hit us and how we're going to get them back, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at the border, for example, you need to know who's coming through the front door, don't you? Of course you do. But Kamala has been letting them come through the door. We don't know who you are. We don't know where you came from. You are who you say you are. We have no way to trace you back to your home country because that's not the name that you used before. You see what I mean?
Right.
So we don't know if you mean us harm or if you're really just trying to find, you know, a better way of life for you, your family. And even if that's the case, we got to know who you are.
You know, it's amazing you say you led right into policies. It's almost great minds think alike, because one of the things I was going to ask you about is, I don't know if you happened to watch it. I did not. I would rather go have a root canal than watch The View. But on The View just this week, Kamala Harris was asked about her policies and what she would do differently from the last, you know, 4 years. And she literally said nothing. So she's, quote unquote, the change candidate, but she wouldn't do anything differently. So, you know, why not just run Creepy Joe? I mean, it's laughable.
The woman. So it is true what Bernie Sanders has said to us, which is Kamala is saying these things because that's how she believes she's going to win. But once she wins, she's going to come back.
Right.
I mean, she said just this month, those who cross our border illegally will be apprehended and removed. Well, where have you been? Where have you been for the past 4 years almost? Where have you been all this time? So we're not believing any of this. And then, of course, she's talking about now she supports fracking. But that was before she was, what, against it.
Right.
Then she says she supports the border wall. But that's before she was against it. So if she's on The View, and she's telling people that she's not going to change any policy, but then she's telling the rest of us, no, I'm going to change all of this, then there you are. It's almost like the Groucho Marx principle. Well, if you don't like those principles, I have more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
That means you have none.
No, it's very reminiscent of John Kerry. You remember his issue with waffling? And this is the same kind of thing. But you're right. She's saying what she thinks she needs to say in order to get elected, but I think we know underneath that nothing's going to change. In fact, I think she'll be more liberal than Joe Biden should she win. We're talking with Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears. I do want to ask you, you and Governor Youngkin have been incredibly successful in one area that we in Kansas have struggled with, we being Republicans in Kansas, and that's schools, the issues of school funding. It's a perpetual fight that the GOP in Kansas struggles with. And yet you've somehow been able to take education policies and turn that into a winning issue for the GOP in Virginia. How is it you've done that? I've been amazed to see Governor Youngkin actually came here and campaigned for our candidate in the last cycle. Unfortunately, Derek Schmidt didn't win. But, you know, you two have been able to turn that issue into a winning issue for Republicans. I wish we could do that nationally.
Well, what we have done is employed something we call common sense. And I think if you keep hitting on common sense in the sense that, look, I am the parent. I am the parent 24/7. I do not co-parent. And I think if you're very vociferous about these things and you go into the various communities who you think may not be amenable to what you're saying, but if you talk common sense and you speak it often enough, then there's a part of, you know, maybe your adversaries who will say, you know, this is absolutely right. I am the one as a parent who should be the decider of where my child should go to school.
Right, right.
I am the one whose tax monies are being used for this, that, and the other, and it's not being used effectively. My child can't read, can't write. And by the way, you shut our schools down when the private schools were open all this time. So if I had the money from my taxes, I could have taken my child out of public school and put them in private school. So that if you public school, you want to stay closed, that's fine. But I'm making the decision to put my child elsewhere so they won't lose 2 whole years of school. This is the kind of sense we're talking about, John. And I think in Virginia, remember now, Virginia is, as I said, a blue to purple, purple to blue state. So we had to have Democrats who believed in us, believed that our message was common sense, and that we could convince them that we would be for them as much as for everybody else. We're one Virginia. So that's what we have to do. We've got to expand the territory in the Republican Party. We've got to go and find those people who believe like we do. And they're Democrats, but they don't know. They're actually Republicans. I didn't know I was a Republican until someone said, for example, if all you ever have is welfare, you will never have anything to pass on to your children. I said, oh, my God, I'm a Republican. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. So that's what I'm saying. You got to be able to go into those communities and speak, as they say, on the other side, truth to power.
Yes.
And bring us out.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. You're coming to Kansas City. You'll be in Overland Park tomorrow at 7:30 at Fiorella's Event Space. Again, it's Overland Park. It's a fundraiser for the Kansas Black Republican Council. Can you tell us a little bit about the event, what folks can look forward to? I know their tickets are still available. If folks are interested, they can find them at ksblackrepublicans.com. Can you tell us a little bit about the event?
Yes, and it's also for the benefit of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly of Kansas. I know that Senate President Ty Masterson is coming.
Yep.
The Speaker of the House is coming. Various other elected officials, local and other part of your states, they're coming. And it's really to talk about, my topic would be, and the part of the event is living the American dream. And folks, you're looking at the American dream. It's still happening. And do you know who's not believing that America is not a great country? It is those people who are trying desperately to even throw their kids over the wall and plant them on American soil because they don't believe that we're xenophobic, homophobic, racist, sexist, we're blah, blah, blah. They don't believe any of that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming into the country illegally. They are breaking every piece of the wall that they can to come in because they know if they get their foot on American soil, their lives will change forever for the good, and so will their children. All we are saying as Republicans, and it shouldn't be as Republicans, it should be as Democrats, as everybody. Who are you and why are you here? That's what we want to know.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And do it the right way. Do it legally. Go through the right process, which we then need to streamline that process. But we do need to vet them before we let them in.
We have to. You don't. The reason you have a door on your house is so you can make a decision on who comes in and who doesn't and to protect your family.
Right.
It's the same at the borders. It is no different. We have a border for a reason. Who are you? Why do you want to come in? What do you bring to this country, et cetera, et cetera? That's it. We know that the cartels are using people as mules, drug mules. We know that there's sex trafficking going on at the border. We know that children are in danger. They're being kidnapped. I mean, we know that we know. How do we know whether sleeper cells have come through? Heavens, we have all this. We have people from communist China who have come through. We don't know if they mean us ill or harm. We have people from rogue nations, terrorist nations who have come through. And those are the ones we caught, John. Those are the
right.
For every one that we catch or two we catch, I hear that there's one that's got away. We've got people we've caught from Russia. Come on. We've got to know how to keep our country safe. And Kamala is not the one to do it. And by the way, you know, you put a Democrat in office right away, John, money's coming out of your pocket. That's a given.
Oh, yeah.
Some way, somehow, money is coming out of your pocket. Don't tell me that I don't know. You know that for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's much like your education policy. Everything you've just said is common sense. It's just, I mean, that's, but unfortunately, some on the other side of the aisle would rather their ideology prevail over common sense. If folks want to help you, if they want to donate, because again, Virginia is a blue state. If they want more information, they can visit winsomeforgovernor.com, and it's FOR, so winsomeforgovernor.com. I follow you on X. If they want to follow you on X, it's Win with Winsome on Twitter on X, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we're going to win because people understand that we need to make sure the common sense policies that Governor Youngkin has begun will be cemented so that they cannot be destroyed. We need businesses to come to Virginia so that they can create the jobs that we need to, so we can get the roads and schools, yes, and bridges and all the infrastructure in place. We need to have some semblance of just absolute, you know, common sense. Can I say it again?
Yeah,
common sense.
That'll preach.
It's just not very common, John.
That'll preach, trust me. Lieutenant Governor, we appreciate you. Wish you the best of luck. We'll see you again tomorrow night in Kansas City at Overland Park for the Kansas Black Republican Council event. Wish you all the best. Thank you again for joining us, and carry on the fight, my friend.
Yes, thank you for having me. And by the way, I won't need luck if you support me, if I get your prayers and also donations. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
She is sharp. That woman is sharp. She would be a heck of a governor, a major upgrade from what we have, sadly. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and when we return, we'll take your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. As we mentioned earlier, last hour, every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country to join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. to phone for freedom. If you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like to be a part, if you'd like to make sure your voice is heard, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
This one certainly will. I know my wife and I will be watching, that's for sure. Speaking of elections, we've got, what, 23 days from now, something like that. Phil, I can't remember, but I don't know if you saw out of NBC today, they released a new poll, which there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth on MSLGBTV today. Mm-hmm. But they rolled out this new poll, and this is an NBC News poll. So, you know, it's certainly not slanted to Republicans. So it's at least, let's say, it's fair and balanced, which, coming from that network, I'll give them the greatest salt. But former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris are deadlocked in the latest national NBC News poll, with Trump, this is according to their website, with Trump bolstered by Republicans coming back home to support him after last month's rough debate, which is this is how they want to spin it. They're saying that they're coming back home, which doesn't surprise me. I think they thought that maybe the Liz Cheney endorsement would just swing this thing for Kamala. What they don't realize is there are no Republicans that actually give a damn what Liz Cheney has to say.
Well, and then they went turned around and had her on to follow.
Oh yeah,
there this morning.
If
you watch the morning programs.
Yeah, they love trotting her out and saying, yeah, well, Liz Cheney says this. And then we have to remind that Liz Cheney lost by like 43 points. I mean, come on. There's not a Republican out there that cares what Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or any of those rhinos actually think. I mean, and I don't use that rhino term very often, but those two are quintessential examples of Republicans in name only.
She comes across as a very bitter, bitter woman.
She is. Yes, she is. That is a very good way of putting it. But according to the poll, the summer has turned to fall and any signs of momentum for Kamala Harris have stopped. This is according to Democratic pollster Jeff Horwitt. The race is, quote, a dead heat. This is not good news if you're in the Kamala Harris camp, trust me, because if at this point, if you look back 4 years ago, Joe Biden was up anywhere between 6 and 10 points.
Quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, and if this is a dead heat in an NBC poll, and you know traditionally Trump voters do not like polls. They're pro-life, pro-gun, get-off-your-porch folks who don't respond to polls. This is not a good sign if you're a Kamala Harris supporter, which I'm just so sorry to hear that. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk with Jeff Jarman, who is running for election to the Kansas State Board of Education to represent my district, District 10. Jeff says he's hoping to get my wife and I to vote for him. You know, it's good to hope in one help and have one hand. And, well, I'll just leave the rest out there. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. He's come into the lion's den. We'll give him a warm welcome when we get back. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find and follow me on Twitter, X, at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to stay informed on all the latest show updates. As always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. My next guest, Jeff Jarman, served more than 8 years on the Mays USD 266 Board of Education from 2015 to 2024, including 4 years as the president of the Mays School Board. He currently serves as the director of the School of Communication at Wichita State University, which, by the way, I would love to come speak to your class anytime. Open invitation. Jeff, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, friend. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. By the way, we're always looking for interns here at the station. So if you ever have an intern, we'd love have. We've had a few down, a couple stations down. You guys do a great job over there at WSU.
Yeah, thanks.
So, love my Shockers. So I have to ask, I start off with the usual question. Why? I would have thought after 8 years on one school board, you'd have had your fill of politics and school boards.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought I was done as well. I enjoyed my 8 years in Mays, but I didn't think I'd run. I am running in this race, though, for really one reason. I care strongly about public education in this state. I believe it's the single best public institution we have, and we need to do everything we can to make it stronger and make it successful. The worst thing we could do is allow our public schools to fail. That is a recipe to really destroy our society. We are stronger when our schools are thriving.
I would agree. I think most people would agree with that sentiment. And I think anybody who runs for a public office, certainly for school board, probably has the same sentiment, I would imagine. I'm sure if we had your opponent, Debbie Potter, on the show, she'd say the same thing. I think she probably feels the same way about public education.
I think as we get through these answers, we'll see a clear difference in how we would answer your questions.
Yes, but I think your general motivation is probably the same. I'm sure she, too, believes that education is the most important, and public education as well. Let me start with this. I know, obviously, you're running for state school board, but the State Board of Education had to approve the recent $450 million bond that USD 259 has put forward. If you were serving on the state board, would you have voted to approve the bond?
Yeah, it's a difficult question right now. I have not looked at all of the facts. We did pass two bond initiatives when I was in Mays on the board there. I understand the importance of building community support and telling your community how that money will be used, why it's important. And when you can make a good case for what it is that you want to do with that money, then voters responded. We saw tremendous success in Mays, 90% out there for the bond initiatives that we did. I would be happy to dig in on 259. But I don't know enough about their bond.
Well, one of the things they're claiming is it's not a new tax. Are you familiar enough with it to say whether
sure.
or not?
Is it a new tax, or
is it not a new tax?
I mean, I think when you talked with other guests earlier, it's not an increase in the mill rate.
That is correct.
Right.
But mill rate goes away.
It could go down, certainly. So the question is not, is it a tax increase? It's whether or not you continue to spend and invest in the infrastructure in your buildings. I mean, I don't know a lot about what's going on in 259, but it is hard to imagine that you can get a 21st century education in a building that was built in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Those are some of the motivations that people have when they ask for
sure. Bonds. And as I said, when we had Walt on last week, I just want them to be honest. And what the honest way to say it is, in 2 years, your taxes go down unless you vote yes. If you vote no, your taxes go down.
Right.
And that by virtue is a tax cut.
And it's exactly the same thing to say, for the same tax rate, we could start improving our buildings.
But that's not how they're selling it.
Well,
they're I get it. Do you believe Kansas K-12 schools are adequately funded?
We have now a funding formula that is constitutional for the first time in a very long time. So they're not fully funded, but they are constitutionally funded.
When you say they're not fully funded, is that the special education part, or do you think, or are you of the mindset that they could never be adequately funded?
Neither of those. One of the things I did for this race is I went out and talked with a bunch of superintendents, and over, I've talked with over a dozen now, and what they really want is stability in funding. And that makes sense to me, that you get a funding formula and then the legislature makes a change. It's hard for them to budget and plan. Any business owner would know that as well. When you can't make plans based on stable projections, it's hard to run your business effectively.
Can I ask, you said when you thought about running, you went out and talked to many superintendents. Yeah. Did you go out and talk to parents?
I have talked with parents, yeah.
Because I think that's, for my perspective, it's a heck of a lot more important to talk to parents than superintendents.
I mean, you know, an important thing is, having been on the board in Mays for 8.5 years, I talk to a lot of parents, more probably than most other candidates running for this office for the first time.
Let's talk about that. Since 2015, you served on the Mays USD 266 school board, including four as the president of the board. During your time on the board, per pupil funding for USD 266 has increased by $7,966 per pupil. Enrollment has increased by a little less than 1,000 students, which is roughly a 14% increase in enrollment. So you've had $8,000 per pupil increase, 14% increase in enrollment. During that same time, the district increased teacher pay, or number of teachers, by 18%. So, you know, you hired 18% more teachers to make up for 1,000 new students. Okay, that's about right. But all employees who are not a teacher, so this is admin, it's all employees, not a teacher. Are you familiar with how much that increased during that same period of time that you were on the board?
I mean,
148.7%.
Yeah.
So you increased all employees who are not in the classroom by 150%. Do you think that's fiscally responsible?
Do you know what they do?
Well, it's everything not a teacher. So I'm sure it's everything that includes janitors. It does not include special ed, but it's janitors, it's administrators.
It's paras who play a vital role. Teachers,
sure.
Teachers are important, but one of the most important things in our buildings are paras providing support.
That. But you've had an 83.8% increase in administration spending since 2005.
Yeah, and as districts grow, like as businesses grow, you have to add additional layers.
I get that. But your students increased by 14%. Your administration increased by 83%.
Yeah, and now we provide more effective safety and security throughout the district because they hired a new safety person. Tipping point for paras, we were terribly understaffed in a lot of those positions.
But paras aren't under administration.
I mean 83% of
83.8% increase in administration spending.
Yeah,
These are numbers from the district.
I'm sure they are, but like, percents can be, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but percents can be a challenging way to do that. A small number increasing by 83% is still a small number.
Okay. Let's look at assessment scores on the 2024 state assessment. This is the most recent state assessment scores. The Mays district had 32% of students below grade level and an additional 27% at grade level, but who still needed remedial training.
Are those levels 1 and 2?
This is overall.
Okay.
Yeah, over 1 and 2. Yes, levels 1 and 2. Only 39% proficient. And yet, you're asking voters to promote you to the State Board of Education. And effectively, you're asking for promotion. Do you think those numbers justify a promotion for you? If you were on the board for 8 years and 39% of your job was a success, the other over 50% failed to achieve minimum standards. I mean, most in a corporate environment, you'd get fired for that. You wouldn't get a promotion.
I do want to clarify. I'm pretty sure level two is meets proficiency.
Level two, it's no. Just, level two is at grade level but need remedial training.
In order to be college or to be college successful.
College or career ready.
Right. So those are people who are actually meeting the standard.
Isn't that the job of schools is to get people college or career ready? And only 27% of them are at that. 32% are below.
Yeah, no, I don't think there is.
So again,
I don't
think there question, is what justifies me voting for you when
I appreciate the question. I'll say a couple things. First is that all school districts and all people in education want us to improve those outcomes. There's no one who doesn't want those improved. And really, the challenge is what kinds of programs are potential school board members going to support that help make that possible or put that more at risk. I'll give you a couple examples at the state board level. They are voting against on consent agenda items, things like funding for at-risk students. These are the students who are struggling in school, and denying funding to districts for at-risk students does not make the job easier to help raise those scores. Denying funding for McKinney-Vento, it's a program for homeless students. Those are students that are undoubtedly struggling in school.
Probably.
Denying funding for them is certainly the wrong way to remedy achievement problems in the state. And that's the choice voters have in this case.
I think, as far as I know, I haven't talked to Debbie about that particular issue, but I would imagine she would want to see. I mean, I think all Republicans that I know of want to see that at-risk money go to at-risk student. The problem that I personally have seen is a lot of at-risk money is not spent in the classroom. I remember a study I saw 2 years ago where at-risk money in one Johnson County school district was being spent on large screen TVs in the cafeteria.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that study. And obviously, I mean, some mismanagement might have happened. The point is this current board, 6-4, 7-3, regularly votes against funding for at-risk, homeless, for food programs. Those are the programs that put our most vulnerable students in a spot to be successful.
We're talking about food programs. Are you talking
like student school, like lunch? School lunches? Yeah.
Do you believe that school lunch programs should be means tested?
I mean, we right now there are tons of school districts with increasing rates of students that are below the poverty line and need that.
I agree. And those who need should absolutely get it.
And this is.
Do you think there's anything wrong with having a means testing? This is really
important because right now we have board members, and Debbie is aligned with people on the board who voted against nutrition programs for students. And that.
I can't speak to that because I'm not Debbie, but I mean, you know, I don't know. I can't speak to what Debbie would vote for. I'll ask her when she comes on the show again. We're talking with Jeff Jarman, who's a candidate for Kansas Board of Education District 10. Again, Jeff, looking at the most recent Mays assessments, and the reason I'm going back to this is because it's indicative of the state school issues, and you were on the Mays board for 8 years. 56.5% of students show a limited or basic ability to understand and use the mathematics skills and working knowledge needed to be academically prepared for post-secondary success. That is the definition from the State Board of Education.
Yep.
So 56%, almost 57% of Mays students are limited or basic ability to understand math over the last 5 years. Those numbers have not really changed much in the last 5 years. Okay. However, funding increased over $5,155 over that same period of time, nearly an 18% increase in funding. So here's my question for you. The Mays School District received 18% increase in funding, and yet your math students are 57% incapable of doing basic math.
Yeah, it's the thing about the increased funding, and I know we might talk about this more, so I don't want to jump too far in to get ahead. But, you know, we have been in a situation for the last 20-ish years where the legislature has chronically and in many ways devastatingly underfunded.
But you said earlier in the show that you're adequately funded now. It's constitutionally funded. So that put that aside.
No, but you're asking about scores over the last several years.
I just gave you scores over 5 years. And all during that five-year period of time, you've been adequately funded.
No.
Laura Kelly has been going around all over the state for the last 8 years. 6 years that she's been governor, she's been going around saying, we're adequately funded, we're adequately funded. She's been saying that for 6 years now. During this five-year period of time, you've been under the most recent Gannon decision. So you have been, according to the courts, quote, adequately funded, according to the courts, for this five-year period of time.
No, the special ed, which you referenced earlier, has been chronically
underfunded. This doesn't include special ed. This is basic. So according to the courts, you're adequately funded.
Yes, no, that's today. But the trouble with this special ed, no, I'll let you ask your question.
So yeah, according to the courts, you're adequately funded, yet 57% of your students can't do basic math.
Yeah. No, the problem with underfunding in special ed over the last, you know, many, many years is that districts are required to pay for that special ed funding gap first, which means the money that would have gone to the rest of general education we had to use that money.
I'm aware of that. And which part of that funding is shorted? Is it the state money or is it the federal money?
The state
it's the federal
still has not met its statutory.
The state is actually meeting their portion. The portion that is actually shorted is the federal portion.
But finally, that's the important thing.
But the state is matching, is meeting their minimum. Yeah. The federal isn't.
But here,
so you need to take that up with your congressman. Let me do this real quick. I got to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more policy issues, if you mind sticking through.
Yeah.
We're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Well, from breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Do us a favor. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radios in cars. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and like and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is Jeff Jarman, candidate for Kansas State Board of Education. Jeff, I want to ask you your signs. I've seen a couple of your signs, the yard signs. They say that you are, quote, the only candidate who will protect public schools. Do you really believe that Debbie Potter wants to destroy public schools?
I do. I have not heard a single quote from her about any policy initiative that would help the vast majority of students in our state. She has said a couple of things about helping parents, but it's my opinion that parents have all of the access and opportunity to support their kids right now.
So shouldn't it be more, I mean, just following up on that, which I think that's a fairly outrageous statement to say she wants to destroy them, but shouldn't it be more about protecting kids and protecting students than the institutions?
I think it's about providing giving the institution an opportunity to succeed. It's about equipping all of our school districts to improve achievement, something we talked about earlier before, you know, off air for sure, where I think everyone agrees that we need to improve student achievement.
So if you think everyone agrees and you think Debbie probably agrees that you need to improve student achievement, how can you say then that she wants to destroy public schools?
I don't think she has provided constituents with any solid idea of how student achievement could go up. And
did on this show. I mean, we've had her on the show before, and she talked about policy procedures. She talked about empowering parents.
Parents are already 100% empowered. I mean, parents have a ton of power right now. But she also said on your show that kids could drop out with as little as a sixth or eighth grade education. And that's
remember her saying
you then followed up and said blue collar jobs are good, but she got bailed out by you. She said students are draining resources from higher achieving students, and that's the attitude that will ruin achievement in this.
I don't actually remember that, but I will take your word for it and go back and look it up. Yeah. Let me ask you, we've talked a lot about fiscal issues and achievement issues. Let's talk about some policy issues. What do you think about allowing districts to establish gun safety, firearm safety curriculum in the district?
I don't know much about that issue.
The legislature has tried to pass a bill that would allow districts to choose whether or not they want in their school district a firearm safety class.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about it. I'm remembering in May's that we voted to institute a gun club, a shooting club. I mean, these are the kinds of initiatives that I imagine districts can do already.
What do you think about the protection for women's and girls' sports that was passed by the legislature? I know, you know, when you started on the school board, it was, you know, President Obama had passed his bathroom issue. That was the first year. Yeah. Do you like that idea? Did you support his plan, or are you more supportive of ensuring that only biological, you know, boys play in boys sports, girls play in girls sports?
KSHA, you know, the Kansas State High School Athletics Association, is the one in our state who is in charge of those policies. And so,
shouldn't that really be up to the legislature that establishes? I mean, that let's set that aside. What do you personally think? Do you believe biological males should be playing in girls' sports?
I mean, I don't think as a state school board member, I will ever be asked to cast a vote on that.
Are you not going to answer the question?
Well, the point is there are a lot.
Because you will be asked to answer that question.
There are a lot of issues that I might be asked about, but the ones that are relevant to go back to what you said before, to increasing student achievement, are the ones that I hope we can focus on.
I want to point out you did not answer that question. So, Jeff, if folks want to help you, if they want to support you, it's jarmanforboe.com. That's JARMANFORBOE.com, correct?
That's right.
Brother, I appreciate you. I hope I wasn't too mean.
I enjoyed our conversation.
Me too, as did I. Next week, Dinesh D'Souza. In the meantime, carry on.